pleased to be joined by the president of hockey operations, Brian Burke. Morning.
Morning.
Not a golfer, apparently.
No, it requires patience and fine motor skills, and I have neither.
Was there a time where you thought you were a golfer, or has this just kind of been...
No.
Has been in the works for a long time?
No, it's not. I'm one of 10 kids. So I grew up in Minnesota, and everyone... I grew up in Edina, and it's an affluent suburb, and everyone's like, oh, rich kid from Edina. Well, there's 10 kids in my family. So when we were in high school, I was a three-sport athlete through grade 10. Still expected to get a part-time job. That's how things worked in my house, so... No golf. None of my brothers golf. And I hate it anyhow, so it's fine. I mean, there's no fighting. It's too slow. I already know how to swear, so.
So we move on. We were talking earlier this morning, and when I heard the story yesterday, I laughed out loud. And partially it's because of Candace, who is, of course, one on your staff. She, you met Candace in a very unique way yesterday at the office, I understand.
Well, I'd said hello to her briefly after my press conference, but as I came around the corner yesterday, I came back. My daughters had soccer on the weekend. I flew back. I took them to school yesterday, then flew back, and I have to get some stuff out here, right? I got all my clothes and stuff. And so I brought a Toronto Maple Leafs hockey bag full of stuff, full of jeans and cowboy boots and some hunting gear. And as I come around the corner, it's sitting outside the boardroom, and Candace walks by, sees the Leaf bag there, and hoofs it. Kicked it as hard as she could. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, I heard this. She gross. I mean, you got to love that about that's your staff. That's your community events people that even have a built-in hatred for some of the competition out there.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good thing.
Western hospitality, right?
That's a good thing.
How talk about... Obviously, a whirlwind for you. Now you are here in Calgary, and I mean, is it gonna? When do you feel like it'll slow down for you? Because here we are, we're right in the start of the season. It's just gonna be a hectic pace.
Well, this is what happens in our business. You know, you get there, you get a job, and you have a real short window to, you know, not typically this close to training camp, but things happen quickly anyway. So I gotta find a place to live. I think I bought a truck yesterday. I'm gonna
just talk to Glenn Cross. He gets them all for free.
Yeah, I don't do any endorsements. So no, I just pay cash. So I think I got a truck. A guy dropped the truck off at the rink, and I like it. So now I just got to get a place to live. I'm going house hunting tomorrow, and I have typically bought a place immediately when I get in. My plan is if I see something I like tomorrow, I'm buying it. Hopefully it's not underwater. But so it's these things happen quickly anyway, and you know it's. It's not my first rodeo. Not the first time I had to buy a house and get the hydro hooked up and all the rest of it. So.
Well, I was going to, you know, and for you, because I think it's been well documented how important family is for you, to have one of your daughters here, this is going to be your home. You're getting on a plane in Anaheim and flying home and flying back, or Vancouver. Yeah. How great is it going to be to have somebody here 24/7?
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's Molly, and she just graduated from university and moved out here. She's dating a young man who... played at Bowdoin. Her name is Kyle Hansen. And,
do you like him?
Yeah, I do, except he was a defenseman. That's the only thing I like about him.
What's wrong with that?
Well, they're just kind of dumb as a group. So, you know, you'd hope she found a forward or something. But he's a nice young man, except he's a defenseman.
Well, there's no jewelry yet. I mean, maybe things will turn out.
No, he's a real good kid. So that's great having her here. And I've always loved Calgary. This is sometimes guys come in and they do a snow job about how they like the city. I've always wanted to live here. I've always loved Calgary. I came here for 10 days during the Olympics in 88 and fell in love with it. And we played them in the playoffs in 89 when they won the Cup. Spent a lot of time here when we were in the West and played them again in 04 in the playoffs. Played them again in 06 in the playoffs in Anaheim. So spent a lot of time here. I feel lucky to be here.
Brian, I've always truly admired your passion and your honesty, and I've always kind of wanted to ask you, where does that kind of come from in your drive and your love of even where you're at today and in your life and in your career?
Well, I think you learn core values at home. And in our house, sports, my dad's a good athlete, but didn't play team sports. And he never cared about that. It was when hockey season started, my dad would open the closet and he'd say, okay, if your grades aren't good enough, this is where your skates are going, right in the closet. And that was it. It was all about academics in our house. The first four kids in my family, my oldest brother graduated from Stanford. My next sister graduated from Wellesley. My next brother graduated from Dartmouth. So I was the first kid to go to a non-Ivy League school, to go to Providence College. So academics were really the most important thing. My parents taught us to work hard, be polite, Like I said, we had part-time jobs in high school. You know, three-sport athlete with a part-time job, that doesn't happen anymore. So just those are the values we were brought up with, very similar to the values in this city. This is what people in Calgary are the same. They work hard, speak plainly, their word is good. You know, I feel like I lived here in a prior life.
Well, and I feel like already the fans of this team have that almost have that bond with you, that, like you say, up early, working hard. It's an oil town. If you don't bust your ass and work, somebody else is going to step in and do it, because there's plenty of people who are ready to do that job for you. So I feel like there's that bond. You know, one of the
That jet just went overhead. I had a professor in college for American history named Dr. Mullen. And whenever a plane went overhead, he would pause and wait for the noise to stop, and he'd turn to the class and he'd say, "My God, I hope it's one of ours."
I'm going to say, I don't know the answer to it, and I guess I'll ask it. You had, over the course of this summer, signed on with Rugby Canada as a board of director. Does this impact your commitment there?
No, this is a board position. I played rugby for 5 years when I was in law school, my first 2 years out. And I've done a bunch of stuff for them the last couple years, spoken at a couple dinners for them. And it's a board position, 4 meetings a year. They're ecstatic that I'm working for a Canadian team. So no, it won't detract or add anything to that. I'm proud to lend whatever expertise I can lend to them.
Brian Burke visiting with us here on the patio at Country Hills. Mika Kiprasov officially announcing the retirement. From your perspective, from being in different parts of the league, the legacy of Kiprasov, and what did you think about him as someone that had to face him?
Well, I hated him. I mean, everyone hated him. The guy was really hard to beat. He was he made saves that it didn't seem possible to make. You know, where you think you beat him, you think you had a backdoor shot on him when he was already down, and he was so athletic. And I'm in Anaheim we feared him. We hated playing him. In Vancouver we feared him. So this is a guy that won a lot of games for his team. He was a legitimate warrior as far as his compete level. It's a big blow for us, for our organization. But from playing on the outside, playing against him, I hated this guy. There's only a few goalies, really. The goaltending position is the most improved position in pro sports, not just in hockey. The last 25 years, elite athletes are becoming goaltenders. When we started playing, you know, it was a fat kid who couldn't skate. He got stuck in net. Now they're elite athletes. And Patrick Roy, I blame him for all this, by the way. Whenever I see him, I tell him, it's all your fault. He glamorized the position. He was the first guy to get paid. Usually, goalies didn't get paid like star players. You know, the scoring guys got paid, and the defensemen got paid. The goalies never got paid. He was the first guy to get paid like a star. And he glamorized the position and made it fashionable to be a goaltender. And that's the position that traded the most. But even with that, and the improvement of the goaltending position, I'd say that there's still a handful of guys who could beat you with sheer compete level and athleticism on top of the mechanics, and Mika Kiprasov was one of them.
Right, you've talked about that compete. I mean, such a you'd see him, there'd be no emotion, but underneath, that competitive fire was just hard even.
Well, I was always burning, and that's one of the things that, because Kipper wasn't big in the media or all about accolades, he was a guy that sat back and went about his business, but when you showed up at the rink and he'd been there for an hour before you doing his stretching and the routine that he always went through, you understood how much it meant to him. And I think that, as a fan, I hope everyone respects and remembers that this guy put it all on the line whenever he could.
And very few poor goals. You know, there are a lot of good goalies that will let in the bad mental lapse, will allow a poor goal. It really breaks your spirit if you're playing. And you're his teammate, and he lets in a softie, and you're like, ah, oh, geez, he doesn't have it tonight. Very rare with him.
Yeah,
almost never.
And it was to the point that you'd almost, we kind of, geez, that's,
well,
and that's
last
a weak
year,
one. It really did it have happened. That asterisk to it, for sure.
Last year it seemed to happen a couple times, was so odd, and it was an off year, and you could tell that he was maybe a little bit off as well after the lockout. But last year was the first time you ever had those goals where, wait, that doesn't happen to Kipper.
And that's the rust that comes with in a career, and yeah. You see the rust on defensemen as they get older, forwards. With the goaltenders, it tends to be glaring, you know, because when they make a mistake, it ends up in the net, and everyone in the building sees it, and it's on the highlights, you know, six times. Look at the softie. So,
Brian, you're just getting obviously acclimatized with the players in your organization, and I loved your comment the other day about you don't really know a guy unless you deal with him day in and day out. Last night's one of those games, and we talked about it off the air. You see anything and any young people last night that maybe you weren't as familiar with that you really kind of liked what you saw?
Yeah, I liked Poirier. I liked I liked both the big defensemen. Drawing a blank on the names.
Keegan Zig,
yeah.
And the other, Kulak?
Yeah, Brett Kulak.
Yeah, I liked him.
Yeah.
I liked the tough kid, Ferland kid, that played out of the Western Hockey League there. Yeah. He was in Brandon, I think.
Yeah.
I liked him. He had a couple of good plays. And the Finn made a couple of really nice passes on assists. So there was a lot to like last night. And I, like we're saying off the air, it's kind of a chippy game. And I don't mind that once in a while to see how guys respond in a chippy game. And I thought the boys stuck together well last night.
So for you, you're obviously now you're here. You're going to be around this team on a day-to-day basis. You got training camp and all that. Do you have a kind of a date in mind when you feel like you'll have a good grasp as to what this team really is all about?
No, I think I wish I could answer that with a better answer. I wish I could say November 1st. But
yeah.
I know what we try to do every year with my teams is 10 games in, we try to have a, you know, like our first assessment meeting and say, okay, now we've watched it for 10 games. Let's huddle. And 20 games was really the yardstick. So after 20 games, we're like, all right, what do we need? Now we've had 20 games, quarter of the season. What do we need? And so I'm guessing that would be around the time frame, but it is new, and it's true. You watch these guys play. We all have these scouting reports. I can pull up the Calgary Flames every time I've seen them, every time one of our pro scouts saw them in Toronto, Vancouver, Anaheim, wherever. But you don't know a team till you watch them practice, watch them play, realize who the coaches trust. And so that's, you know, it'll take some time.
How much time would you be spending down in the dressing room? Because you're just saying no, guys, and I know that Daryl Sutter, for example, he had a great feel in the dressing room when he was in the dressing room. Do you think you need to spend time in the room and know them personally to get a good feel on them?
Yes, yeah. And that I do that. I'm an early morning person. Like I was in the gym at the hotel this morning at 5 o'clock, so I won't get a chance later today. I'm usually there when the guys get in having a coffee, just visit, you know, how's the baby doing? How's this, you know, how's your knee? Small talk, you know, not interfering with the coaches, not interfering with the general manager, with Jay, but getting to know the players on just that basis. Even a little bit of visiting this morning.
So. Yeah. Well, Boomer's up at 5. I don't know if he's in the gym, but.
Yeah, I'm up early. That's where our days start to differ, right at 5 o'clock.
Well, I'm a hunter and a fisherman, so we get up early. There's no, you can't get around that.
You fly fish?
I don't fly fish.
You'll learn fast here, won't you?
I heard that, yeah.
Are you a Vikings fan?
Yeah, I am. It's a hard thing. It's a really hard thing to be.
I hate to admit it, but since I was 7, yeah. So am I. So I was kind of, when you threw out the old Edina reference, I'm like, I got to ask before he leaves today.
Well, I played high school football and hockey with two of Jim Fink's sons. So my older brother started on a state championship football team with Jim Fink's Jr. And then there's David, and there were three boys. And so I played summer hockey. And so when I first got into management, when I was an assistant GM with the Canucks back in 87, the first guy I called was Jim Finks. He was the GM of the New Orleans Saints. So I went to training camp with the New Orleans Saints twice. I went down and studied their whole front office operation. So, yeah, I'm a Vikings fan. It's kind of hard to be sometimes.
Yeah, for about 38 years. Yeah, I would agree.
It's great working with Lou every Monday morning after the Vikes have played.
A little
down in the mouth.
The four Super Bowls, that was the killer. Yeah. You know, they got that close and couldn't close the deal. So.
Well, thanks for the time. Thanks for the visit. I assume that truck's a four-wheel drive.
It is.
Attaboy.
Ford F-150.
There you go.
Quad cab.
You're an Albertan already.
That's right.
Only took a few days.
There's no dings in the windshield yet, though. There's no stone chips.
It'll happen. Dear friend, we'll get you. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks,
okay,
Brian.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. The president of hockey operations for the Calgary Flames is Brian Burke.